October the 23rd, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is El-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. We are asking, we have an announcement. We are asking you to make a prayer, a dua, a short prayer for our beloved brother, Osman Sharif. He passed yesterday. His janazah is tomorrow. So make a prayer for him. Ask Allah to bless him, forgive him his faults and his sins, and admit him to paradise. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Progression. The Quran Surah 94 Ayat 1 to 5. With difficulty is ease. In the above verse, Allah tells us that Satan wants us to have empathy and hatred between us, and that we should be taken from the remembrance of God through the drinking of intoxicants and gambling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in another place in the Quran that we are not to go near prayer in an intoxicated state until we understand what we are saying. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said in a parable, if anyone would wash in a river that came by his home five times daily, would there be left on him any impurity? And the reply to him from his followers was, no. The message in the parable is that the five daily prayers cleanses us. As God says in the Quran, surely prayer keeps away evil and indecency. Prayer is a form of purity that cleanses. We also know that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, the Muslim prayer are an ascension, meaning they lift us from the lower base vulgar and degrading thing. The Muslim gets a sense of upliftment as ascension, a sense of being raised up to God when he performs his prayers. God wants us to remember him. He says, establish prayer for my remembrance. God wants us to be purified. And as previously said, God does not want difficulty, hardship for us. For many, it is difficult to get up at dawn in the morning and make the dawn fajr prayer. But God also tells us in the Quran that it is difficult except for those who are strong in their devotion to God. Yet in another verse, God tells us that after every difficulty, there is relief, ease. Thus, we see that God wants ease for us. However, we have to accept some difficulties. To make our prayers as we should, we must accept some difficulty, taking care of ourselves as regards the practical things, such as care of our hygiene, eating the proper foods, maintaining the proper home environment for Muslims, etc., is difficult. all of this and difficult, but this difficulty is given to us by God to make our life better. You have probably heard the old saying, a stitch in time saves nine, or an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. These old sayings are telling us that if we take care of the present thing, then we won't have too much trouble in the future. God wants us to take care of certain needs in order that we may avoid greater difficulties. If he has ordered us to do things that seem difficult, then we should understand by his words that he wants us to be guided aright and to be purified. Thus, we should fulfill our obligation to him, to the prophet, to each other, and to our community. If we are to fulfill these obligations, we must be dutiful as Muslims and remember that just as God wants for us ease and purity and all of the things that makes for a good life, Satan wants trouble for us. Furthermore, Satan's ways seem easier. So we hear people saying, do whatever you want. Do your own thing. Sin, corrupt your life. Have fun. And don't care about the consequences, such as the invitations of Satan. God tells us that Satan is our enemy. That he is the obvious enemy of man. God gives us good advice in the Quran, wherein he says, O man, certainly the promise of God is true. Let not then this present life deceive you, nor let the chief deceiver deceive you about God. Verily, Satan is an enemy to you, so treat him as an enemy. He only invites his adherents, that they may become companions of the blazing fire. For those who reject God is a terrible penalty, but for those who believe and work righteous deeds is forgiveness and a magnificent reward. Is he then to whom the evil of his conduct is made alluring, so that he look upon it as good, equal to one who is rightly guided? The Muslim is not supposed to take intoxicants, such as liquors, alcohol, drugs, etc. There are Muslims who are very serious about not taking those things, but there are those who are weak and want to do those things, yet claim to be Muslim. So this makes a division between us, especially if these weak people desire such things in their hearts. The real Muslim, even though he is doing such things, won't desire them in his heart and will hate for anyone to know that he is breaking the laws of God. The Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1, Allah expanded heart. God says he has not narrowed the man's heart. He enlarged it so there is room inside for all humanity, Ilalians, Caucasians, rich, poor, educated, illiterate, etc. These teach man's spiritual concerns, intellect. So the Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1, have we not expanded that yet? The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 125, chest expanded, constricted. The breast refers to heart, the heart, to the spiritual concerns, and the intellect, and it also refers to understanding. It means that man has a very limited or narrow understanding. This chapter that brings our attention to the nature of human struggles to the dynamics of the human spirituality and social makeup and spiritual makeup. This chapter is telling us, brothers and sisters, that this is the nature that God has put in his human creatures. And not only in the human being, this is in every creature. You might recall when I began talking about the need for moral development in this community and the correct kind of spiritual vision in this community. Moral muscles use it or lose it. So I try to illustrate that by saying your moral makeup is a muscle. And like your physical muscle, if you don't use it, it will collapse. Now, believe me, the whole human makeup, your desires for physical improvement or material improvement in your life, your desire for spiritual improvement in your life, your desire for improved relations with your loved ones, you struggle, the more progress you realize. While human beings is in his total concept, his total entity, his spirituality, his intellect, everything has this particular nature given to it by God. It operates like a physical muscle. The less you use it, the weaker it gets. So don't hate people who drive you to use what you've got. Hate people that tell you, sit down and relax until something comes by you. Hate them. Don't hate the people that drive you to use what you have. Because in using what you have, you're going to become better equipped to do things for yourself and by yourself. Chapter 94, Ayat 1, Chest Breath. The baby is fed from the mother's two breasts. So when we are raised up as youngsters, we feed upon the two breasts' kinds of knowledge. One knowledge, we live, but don't always understand. The other knowledge is the knowledge we understand that we ourselves can command. When understanding comes to you, it gives you a command over something. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 1, by the fig and the olive. Matthew 21:19, Jesus cursed fig tree. Mark 11:21, Jesus cursed fig tree. The Jews lost the way. They got off on the wrong path. They were preaching spiritual teachings, spiritual values, but the path they were walking on was the path for material conquest. They were on the road to manifest as any common tyrant. So God sent Jesus to stop and take the favor away from them. And Jesus told them, said that the Son of Man came to the fig tree for fruit, and it had no fruit to offer him. So he said, cursed be the fig tree. Fig trees was a symbol of Judaism. He said, cursed be the fig tree, bear fruit no more. And the book said, right away, it withered up, didn't wait. As soon as he spoke it, it was all over. So right away the fig tree withered up. Meaning, as soon as Jesus opened his pure mouth and his sincerity was heard, the hypocritical Jewish establishment was finished. They couldn't attack and lead righteous people anymore. They could only keep what they had. That was their materialistic, so-called righteous establishments. They kept their own people, but they didn't win people from the world anymore, did they? They didn't go out preaching anymore in the world like they did before Jesus. Look how Jeremiah, how Ezekiel preached. Look how Moses challenged Pharaoh in the name of God. But after Jesus came, we didn't see the Jews out on the world scene standing up for God. They went into secrecy. They teach their children behind closed doors. They are not seen out in the open, inviting people to the way of God and condemning the world for its wrong. Why? Because they knew they had gotten in the top amongst those wrongdoers that keep the world miserable. And when Jesus condemned them openly, they just couldn't come out no more. So right away, they withered away. Is that right? The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 1 to 2, by the fig and the olive. Matthew 21:19, Jesus' fig tree cursed. So Jesus cursed fig tree means he taught the fall of the Jewish people. We see that in Jesus' day. He saw something that the others didn't see. He saw the coming of the fall of Jerusalem. Like many other minor prophets in his time said, and he saw something even bigger. He saw the fall of the Jews. He didn't come to preach the fall of Jerusalem as much as he came to preach the fall of the Jewish people. He told it in parables, like the parable of the fig tree. He said he came to the fig tree and found no fruit on it. The fig tree was cursed to never bear fruit again. Trees is symbolic of the society of people. So if you see somebody just mistreating a tree, right away your heart goes out to the tree. Although the tree is not human, God has put the nature in us to have compassion on these things. Jesus is a strongly compassionate man in the scripture. How could that strongly compassionate man curse the tree and make it shrivel up and never bear another fig? That ignorant, primitive, savage, pagan understanding of scripture, it means nothing but this. The Jews were called the fig tree, just as many people are called trees in the Bible. The fig is a fruit that has many seeds in it. God had promised them that they would multiply when he promised Abraham that he would multiply their seed. Since they had been given favor from God to see if they could prove worthy of that blessing, the fig is a fruit that is nice to taste and is not hard to chew. It has many seeds in it. And if you take it to produce more fig trees, look how many fig trees you can get out of the one fig. So this is symbolic of the abundance of good that God has blessed them with. Fig tree curse means the Jews would be cut off. So they were rebellious people from the very time God first called them. And they never did become a submissive people for God. So he took the blessing away from them. Jesus, in words, told them that he was their last chance and that after him, they would not get another. He told them that their blessings would be cut off. The fig tree being cursed means that the Jews were going to be cursed. Their blessings was going to be cut off and they wouldn't produce any more figs upon the tree. That their numbers would not multiply in the earth anymore. Their growth was going to be stunted or cut. The Holy Quran speaks of this, and the Jewish history tells us that prophecy came true. The Jews as a religious community that haven't multiplied in the earth. Christians have multiplied in the earth. And Muslims have multiplied in the earth. But the Jews have been cut off since the coming of Jesus. they have certainly been diminishing in number. So they used to be the largest body of spiritual people on the earth. The Christians took over that number. God dried up the spiritual or the divine knowledge amongst them and cut them off from divine revelation. He began guiding and giving it to others. Other religious bodies became God's mission or Messiah in the earth, preaching truth to other nations. Before Jesus, the Jews had this mission. They went about preaching God's religion to other people. We see that in Jesus' day, he saw something that the others didn't see. He saw the coming of the fall of Jerusalem. Like many other minor prophets in his time says, he saw something even bigger. He saw the fall of the Jews. He didn't come to preach the fall of Jerusalem as much as he came to preach the fall of the Jewish people. He told it in parables like the parable of the fig tree. He said he came to the fig tree and found no fruit on it. The fig tree was cursed to never bear fruit again. Do we think that God writes such mad scriptures that we take literally in the church? Crucified on tree means a community people crucified. Now we have the Nation of Islam that came to us from the hands of Almighty God. It is this Nation of Islam that has gotten us respect all over the world. Our birth and our resurrection as a divine one. So when you read about the crucifixion in the old book and the new, it mentions the crucifixion of the cross as a hanging upon a tree. That's to let you know that it's not just a cross, but a tree. What does a tree put in the Bible? A tree stands for the community or people or a nation. What nation can you find that has had people hanging by their necks in that nation? America has become so notorious for lynching. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1 to 5. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Education, science, creation gives the man could had not start without matter. So education problems. I think I have seen their tricks. And I think it is the arrogant scientific thinkers who get into science and forget that creation gave him a start. And he had no way to start without matter. He forgot that and look at himself and see himself as a big player. So what he did was criticize his beginning. He hated his beginning, and he began depending on other things. He wants to be self-independent, so he hates his beginning. He looks back at his beginning in the lap of his mother, and from the lap of his mother, he is in the lap of mother nature. And he hates the beginning, so he looks back at that beginning and he calls all of us who are common people idols. So this, you are supposed to come out and defend the human form from against the attempts of the wicked to distort that form or take it out of its nature. And the righteous have not been on their job to defend the innocent of the human being from the magic of the wicked world. You have to be foremost in the sciences so you can anticipate his moves before he makes it. And tell the world, be careful. He is what is coming, and this little worm intend to bring your image down, pardon me. So instead to bring your dignified nature down, to which out of for him, here is what he is doing. Inform the world, stay into the battle. So the Muslim drops out of the war. They drop out of the battle. They accept the mentality that the Bible gives the people, that wickedness had a time, and God doesn't want you to interrupt what is doing, because that is God's ordain that the wicked should do those things. That is not the Quran. That is the Bible mentality. We don't believe that any wrong is ordained. Only right is ordained. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Passover is one kind of orientation and to another kind. So I hope we better the great office of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is all of the earlier prophets wrapped up into one. And then more, because he received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all time. That means his mission goes further than the mission of Ibrahim Hanif and the others, peace be upon them. Prophet Abraham was just a sign of the Passover from one kind of orientation into another orientation that enables freedom of intellect. Passover is one kind of orientation into another kind. And Muhammad showed mankind how. Prophet showed how to apply revelation in the world. Well, I hope we see better the great office of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is all of them wrapped up into one. And then more, because he received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all times. That means his mission goes further than the mission of Ibrahim Hanif. Peace be upon him. Prophet Abraham was just a sign of the Passover from one kind of orientation into another kind of orientation that enabled freedom of intellect. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, came now with the final phase of it. And what is that phase? The correct application, the correct implementation of the knowledge that wasn't given to prophets before. That was only given to Prophet Muhammad. If you want to know how to apply the revelation, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to implement it in the world, in the whole life of the human being, for the whole possibilities of the human life, you can't follow any prophet but Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is the only one who makes that possible for us. No scholar, no scientist, no mujaddid in the world, nothing that is coming will ever change that fact. Whatever comes must point back to that fact. If he has any credentials at all, he will point back to that fact that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is the concept for the full expression of all the gods has locked up in the human nature in the right way. So there is the wrong way and the right way. Bilal, the sign of heart. Muhammad, the intellect. So we mentioned earlier that the Bible also typifies, or he is a sign of the Messiah. Bilal represents the human heart factor. Prophet Muhammad represents the intellect, and many of us don't understand how Bilal can go into the garden ahead of Prophet Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon him. It only means that your heart must be approved first. And Bilal is just a symbol of the heart of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He symbolized the heart of the prophet, and he had his own heart. But Bilal was used as a sign of the heart of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He was sincere. He had no design on the world. He had no attachments to the worldly things. He was merely trying to survive and be as good as he could until his time was up on earth. And when the truth came, he realized that his voluntary induction into slavery was sinful. So he said, no, this is wrong. I thought it was all right to work for a man who had more power. He gave me a living. He allowed me to exist. And I gave him a servant. But now this prophet from God says that this is slavery. And I am only the servant of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have given myself into a servitude that is not befitting my nature. Heart strong, intellect does what it expedient. So John 16:7, it's expedient that I go away. Expediency suppresses the right tendency in the heart. So he said, I'm sorry, Master. You know I don't have anything against you personally. I've been obligating you all these years. But now one Lord, one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his master tried to change his mind by heaping misery into his life. He refused and said, I will even die. Do what you want to do. There is only one Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart, when it is right, is strong. The intellect is not strong without the strength of the heart. The intellect will do what is expedient. Can't you understand what the crucifixion or the killing of Christ is? The book says it is expedient that I go away, meaning that the principle of expediency suppresses the right tendency in the heart. So this expediency is a principle of the intellect. The heart has a different expediency, it says. It is expedient that everything else goes away in order that I may retain my righteousness. But the intellect without the soundness of the heart, it says, it is expedient that my righteousness goes away, that I may survive. Isn't that the principle the world operates on? It is that my righteousness goes away, that my flesh may live on. But the Muslim says, Allahu Akbar, come on and kill us. We are happy. We want to go fast to heaven. But in the process, remember that you may go faster to hell than we go to heaven. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1 to 2, created man from cloth. Do you know what Allah really means literally? What it speaks to most of all? It is something that is thick. It has attaching power. It holds. Now, we know blood is thicker than water, but water, too, has attaching power. You wash your hands, and you hold your hand just like that upwards, and water will try to stay attached to your hand. There will be a drop clinging to your hand, right? If it comes too heavy, it will fall. But a small drop will hold on. So it says he made a human being from alak, from something that sticks. They call leeches alak because they stick on you. They are hard to come off. You have to tear them off. So he made a human being from an alak, referring to the blood, how it clings and holds better than water. And the blood will hold and then gel. And if it's outside of the body, it dries up. And eventually it becomes a powder, dust. And the wind can blow the blood substance or the blood product away. Like dust, right? But when it has in its moisture, it holds into a drop. It clings together. And the right condition will make it clot. And if it clots on the inside in the birth process, what happens? Out of it comes eventually flesh, bones in a human being, right? A human being, eventually. So what is this saying to us? That God made human beings with the nature he wants to be with each other. He made human beings to stick together. You know how we say those two dudes are tight? Man, they stick together all the time. That is all of us. The human being has a social nature. He likes to socialize with other human beings. In this social nature is what we call the nature to congregate. You and he are congregated. Why are you congregated? Because you like to be with other people, not just because you like the word of God, but you also enjoy being with other people. So man progress yet to be done. So if we can understand that God has created us for great accomplishments far beyond our imagination, most likely we've gone a long ways, but don't think that's the end. We can go much further. I'm talking about progressive man. In fact, Allah said, there is no end to the progress that comes to his servants that obeys him. Say he has created things that you know and don't know, and you cannot exhaust the resources. That's what Allah says to us. There is no way to use up the resources. Education, learning, teaching is a priority in our religion, and it's a priority for any liberating people. God says, work on educating, and educating wasn't left in the hands of the elite group or society. Education was immediately introduced into the general public by our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He said to those who come to receive knowledge from him, you are obligated now to pass it on to others. And he told them, whoever gives or whoever would give one line, if you knew one or two lines, if you would just teach that to another, there would be great rewards for you. Education is to be free. So he brought about a vigorous movement for bringing up the knowledge, the literacy and knowledge of the general public in his day and time. We cannot have all of these fine institutions working on building the master race or working on building a master society, leaving the knowledge that God intended for all of us in the hands of academia or in the hands of a few intellectuals. No, that can't be our way. We can't do that. No, it's not for that. God says that he has revealed it so that it would be given openly and freely. A secret society in our religion is not only forbidden, it is criminal. Hoarding knowledge that will benefit other people if they had it, education is a must. Relations for oppressive environments. So God created us with the nature, character, with the behavior we want, and that will remain good as long as the environment is good, suitable, conducive to that life and development. But it will require knowledge, revelation, education, if the environment becomes itself the factor for oppressing the intellect of man. So, dear beloved believers, we have to appreciate knowledge, education, and try our best to translate the complicated ideas and theories into language of the common person so they can get the benefit. Oppressing masses by greed knowledge. College entry exams rigged against masses. Don't you know a capitalistic society makes capital of everything? And that's how the weak are oppressed. They are oppressed by greed, by you can't see all the way through the connection. We can't always see the connection. Why is this special institution giving all this attention to those special people here and limiting this knowledge to this special group? We know that many of the entry exams were rigged in the favor of the established people against the unestablished people. And the civil rights movement brought that out. These examinations are unfair, and in time, they tried to do something about it, but they are still unfair. They are not fair yet. No need to go into those institutions and try to make them suitable. The best thing is to start your own movement. And you who have the knowledge, translate it so the common person can understand it. And then it won't be us that deny the people. At least the blame will be off of us. We say we done our best, God, to simplify it for the common man. And if the common people don't get it because of their ability of something we have not control over, and at least we will be free. Freedom. Now we come to the idea of freedom. And knowledge, darkness and light, ignorance and knowledge, oppression and freedom. The real freedom we should be seeking, the highest freedom, is freedom of the mind, intellect. Now, we as a people, once enslaved, we have come from slavery. So we're in freedom now, we say, we're no more physically in bondage. So we are no more politically captives of this country, of the South, or any part of it. Now we are free just like all other citizens. So we are free, the law, the community, and everything recognize our freedom, so we are free. But can we really benefit from freedom? Physical freedom is a condition for coming into mental freedom. The baby is a captive before it's delivered into the world. It is in the prison of its mother's, and then it comes out here with the freedom it wants first. Many times it comes out here hungry. The mother can't even feed it. She's trying because it is not hungry physically, but inwardly it is mentally hungering before they even take the first drink of milk. It is mentally hungering. The baby will be looking with a curiosity, eyes open. And when you see those eyes, the eyes tell you that this child is curious. The newborn baby is curious. We think every baby is supposed to come here playful. So the first thing we want to do is play with it. And the baby looks at us and says, "What in the hell is this?" God created that baby with a mental appetite before a physical appetite, before play. Prophet revelation and night. The Quran, Surah 97, Ayat 1, night of power. We have indeed revealed this message in the night of power. The night has a coming effect. The spiritual man is the same kind of man. He shuts his eyes to the light of the world, meaning to the knowledge of the worldly knowledge. He refused to accept that guidance that he that the world gives him. And in putting himself in the dark, he has to then depend upon the light of revelation. And Almighty God blesses him. Is there any proof that the man, the prophets, put himself in the dark? Certainly. The night vision. The Bible refers to it as the night vision. A vision that comes to you at night under darkness, not in the day. The day vision is different from the night vision. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, he went up into the top of Mount Hira, or the mountain of light, and he went into a cave. And in that cave it is dark. And there he receives spiritual guidance from Allah. Again, a symbol telling us that it is not the light of the world that lit his mind, his spirit and soul up. It was the light of revelation. And the moon is symbolic of the light of revelation. Mountain represents religious authority. Bukhari, volume 4, 830. Prophet pointed to moon and split the moon and split it and mountain put in its place. In the hadith, the saying of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is that he pointed towards the moon and it split, meaning that he ended revelation. His was the final revelation, no more was to come. And what was put into its place? A mountain. And what is the mountain symbolic of? Religious authority. He left a Quran. And his light here as the authority for us to rule by. It is the authority for us to rule by. It is the mountain. What else does the mountain represent? It represents a mass of people. All masses together, forming one leadership. So we can not only rule by the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, we also have to rule by the Ijtima', Ijtihad, which means the consensus of the majority of the righteous. The Quran, Surah 97, Ayat 1, Night of Power. So when Christians sing the Christ, when the Christians sing on Christmas Eve, Silent Night, Holy Night, they are singing about this night of power. Jesus said, this world, light is darkness. With God, the day is night. Their days is night. So the Muslim night is the beginning of the day. The night precedes the day. The Christian day is night. Allah bless us with the Quran in the night to bring in the day, the light, that understands that it is descriptive of the whole process of revelation and that God sent down the revelation, the Quran, with the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. So the prophet ascended because of what? Because of the purity of his heart, the purity of his light. And when he ascended, contact was made with Adam, Jesus, John the Baptist, with Joseph, Idris, Moses, and Aaron, and Ibrahim, peace and blessings beyond them. Contact was made, and then he came back down. So we touch the Quran if we are ourselves pure-minded. But if we are corrupt-minded, we can't touch it. We can touch it with our hands, but we can't touch it with our hearts. Only the pure-minded can touch it with their hearts because their hearts have been reconciled. If you never touched it with your heart, you'll never make eye contact. The prophet, like Moses' mission, is to purify them, not only to teach them, to teach them the book, the wisdom, and also purify them. Because without purification, they will never be able to make contact with Scripture. the wisdom, they will never get it. This world has the Quran. The State Department of our government has the Quran. They have many copies. Presidents, they have Quran. Sometimes we take the Quran and say, I would like to give this to you, Mr. Governor. And he says, thank you. And he has one already. He had to have one. They won't accept him in that position until he gets one. And if you ever get that position, they will give you one after they give you something else. They will first give you something to keep you from making contact. Then they will give you the Quran. They departed ways after clear knowledge. I speak to you and I speak to you plainly. Look what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quranic Arabic. Lam yukuna al-ladina kafiru min ahil katibi wa musraskini musfakini hatta tahamu bayina. Listen to the language until they come to them clarity. Bayina is feminine in grammar. Ta-ta-ya is feminine. So it has to correspond with bayina, which is feminine. They did not reject until they came to them clear evidence. What is the clear evidence? Rasulullah, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the bayina that comes to them? Rasulu min Allahi, the messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him from God. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in the Sunnah, bayina, in the Surah, pardon me, not Sunnah, in the Surah, bayina, the clear evidence, has identified the revealed knowledge or the clear evidence that was promised compared to or associated with the messenger, peace and the blessing be upon him himself. And he said it is the messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him. The evidence itself is the messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him. Rasulullah yuklu, yeah, in the beginning of the verb means it is masculine. He recites to them, but the Arabic word hatta, jad, tahamul, bayina, translated, until they come to them, the clear evidence. And the terminology here is feminine. What is it? Rasul, a messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yahglu, it means masculine in form. The Quran, Surah 98, Ayat 1, they are not depart until knowledge comes. Zechariah 5, 1, 2, flying scroll. The Quran says that they did not stop erring, going astray, making in their interpretation or understanding of the truth of Scripture until the Quran, the revelation, the verses were revealed to Prophet Muhammad and came into their midst. Now the next verse, verse 2, says the messenger. Now what is this messenger refers to in this verse? The clear evidence is the messenger from God. That's the clear evidence. Now, how do we know this? Because over and over again, the Quran, the doubt of people is mentioned. It says, they say, never could a mortal bring this from God. Never could a mortal bring anything from God. So they didn't believe, and they don't believe that a mortal human being can bring something from God. So what is the evidence? The evidence is that they will come not by way of superstition or mysticism, but by way of the mortal, and the mortal, it is very clear that the term used for a mortal human being in the Quran is to let us know that whatever has happened in this relationship, it has been within the possibility of every human being. It says, say to them that I am no more than a mortal just like you, just like you. That should dispel any doubt of confusion whatsoever that it is talking about anything other than a common human being. So a common human being, an ordinary human being, what's the difference? The difference is they understand that knowledge can come by intellectual study, by intellectual pursuit, knowledge is gained. And knowledge is gained by contact with the world through the study of physical universe, science. You can get knowledge that way by applying yourself, your mind, your faculty to solve the secrets or discovering the hidden acts of nature and science, intellectual observance. Then if you get it that way, how will the next one get it? The same way. Or he'll get it from you. You teach him, right? Knowledge via philosopher. Okay, the first way of getting it directly by philosophical or philosopher, they just set out and meditate on the universe, on the nature of things. And philosophers have gradually come into the modern knowledge of the nature and the function of the universe, right? But if those philosophers have passed their findings on to their students and eventually science was established, right? Yes, science was established. So that was way. So what is the poor, pardon me, what is the proof? Prophet Muhammad is the proof. Why? He had no teacher. He was without education. He was not a scientist. He was not inclined towards scientific research. His burden was the condition of his people, of the world, on his heart. Then the intuitive spirit of God came into him. As a result of the Holy Spirit moving him, then he began to put his mind to the matter of that nature. So what is it saying? That it is not by man applying his energies to discover truth that he gets truth. It is by God helping him that he gets truth. If he's not inspired by God, he does not get truth. And whatever the truth has, they have it as a result of this kind of inspiration taking place sometime in the past. They should study after revelation because they weren't studying before revelation. What proof do we have of this? We know that science was established and of the ancient world, but the sun, that life, the sun of that science set upon the earth after the prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him was born. The period was called the Dark Ages, was illumined again from the common human being, a common person. Muhammad, not an intellect, not a scientist, not a philosopher. Muhammad, the common man, whose heart was burdened because of the condition and the state of the world. Salakallahu Dadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We will continue this next Wednesday. We will go into another portion. next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. May God guide us and have mercy on us, and to all of the believers out there, have a blessed and a safe Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.